Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Summer View Show. My name is Elisa.
Oh, excuse me. My name is Liz. Hi, darling.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, what's interesting is our last show, which was only on Thursday, but it always feels like since we're doing the two shows instead of the three, it seems like between Thursday and Tuesday, it's like a week.
Right?
Yeah. And it was very interesting how with two callers, presence from the other side came through, energy from the other side came through, which was very gratifying and validating. And on, I think it was Friday, my sister's husband passed away suddenly.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is my eldest sister, the one who lives in Vermont. And so at some point I will share with her that I do this, been doing this podcast for almost 10 years now. But what's so beautiful is that I've always been the one out of all of us to kind of be the crazy one, the open one, the unconventional one, whatever you want to label it. So what's so beautiful is that she's sharing all these synchronicities with me. And I just keep telling her, you're being taken care of. Like all these, like I'll give you a perfect example, just one of many, but one that comes to mind immediately. They have a really nice house. They call it a backyard. I call it a forest, okay? I call it a forest. It's not, but I, to me, this New York City girl, that's a forest.
Sure.
So of course, and I don't know from lawn care, but like most things, it's more complex than it looks. If something looks effortless, it's because there it wasn't, right? So, and I guess her husband took immaculate care of the forest, of the lawn. And no sooner does she think that thought, somebody shows up with the flyer for lawn care services.
Wow.
Love it. Love it. So I said, the more you're open to this and the more he is taking care of you, he is able to tap into the purest part of who he is and really be that husband. I don't think he was the happiest of people. I don't know. I don't know whether he was battling bouts of depression or whatever, none of my business. But now he's elevated in consciousness. He leveled up. So, well, the rest of us are here. So good. Yeah, so good for the people who level up. Good for them. So good for them. And we were talking about grief and loss and all of that. And I said, well, having experienced both grief and divorce, I said, well, grief, like the dead people aren't mad at you. Right? It's like you're just dealing with, you know, just processing something so painful and so sad. You didn't want that person to go, really.
Right.
Yeah. Not so much the case in divorce. But anyway. Yes. Very, very interesting. And yeah, and people need their space to grieve in whatever way they need to. And even my dear friend Andrea, who passed, her husband, who for pretty much for 3 months plus, I had been in constant contact with him, whether it was going to the hospital as much as I could when she was in ICU, to every single day since her death. And I could tell that he really needed some space. And I didn't take it personal. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. Having the intuition to know that it's time to step back and do that pattern interrupt. And to allow him, if he has to really get into that dark, dark, dark place and needs to do that on his own, so be it. And my confidence is in him. And for those that don't understand that, meaning those other people and family members, why aren't you calling me back? Are you okay? Mm. I feel that my position in terms of being someone that he feels safe with will be maintained because I am getting out of my comfort zone. I want to talk to him 2-3 times a day, you know, as I got into that pattern, but I know that he needs that pattern interrupt. So if I could be that one person that gets it and that one person that's not going to take it personally, okay.
Right.
And you know, he had said a couple of comments, and again, I didn't take it personally. I could just see this was coming out of pain. And, you know, I don't want to be your next project. Right? Now, I did not take offense to that at all. I mean, I threw him a little shade because, you know, we're good friends, but not in a defensive way. More in a I'm very clear and very self-aware as to how I spend my time and how I choose. He is worth that time and investment. But I also got a lot of time back, which I actually need.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was investing a lot of time and energy, and I wouldn't change anything, and I would do it for the rest of my life if that's what I needed to do as a friend. So, but being that I am incredibly productive, I just shift my attention to the next thing that needs it. So be it. But to give people space when they need it. And I'm so fascinated. And I've had this conversation with him many times. And he said, you know, I should write a book about the difference between how men grieve and how women grieve. And I'm like, oh, my God, that would be amazing. Of course, it's not anything he's probably going to do. But I find it so interesting. Another friend of mine lost her husband within a week or so or two of my other friend losing his wife. And I just saw her since her husband passed. And I went to her. She runs a theater. I went to where she runs her business. And if she wasn't the scrappiest little thing, just taking being a boss. I don't know the show The Office. I don't know that show. I know everybody loves that show. I think it's a show that I don't know if you've ever watched it. I'm sure it's something that you and I would both
really
like. I know
it came over from the UK.
That's right.
So there's an American adaptation. But yeah, it's pretty popular. I just never watched it. Yeah.
Right. Me neither. Right. I kind of knew that. I kind of felt that because I co-host a podcast. Did you hear? Anyway, I kind of felt like, yeah, you and I. But we know it's really, really – and Ricky Gervais, who doesn't love him, hello. But anyway,
right.
At her theater, they're doing a musical spoof of The Office, which I think it looks really funny. And she is just there in her little outfit being scrappy, taking care of business. And she's like, I have a choice. I'm like, yeah, you do. I said, women are amazing. I spoke to my sister yesterday. She said, well, it's a Memorial Day sale. She lives in Vermont, and she's very, I would say, very classic in her style. So she's like, I got a coupon for Talbots. That's what I would do anyway. I said, you go to Talbots. You get whatever you want with that coupon. You do that. And then as we were on the phone, she gets a text message from a friend. I'm going to stop by with Prosecco and snacks. I said,
oh,
boom, you're
there
taken
you
care of. You go a little shopping, you go home, your friend comes over, Prosecco and snacks. What's better than that? You're being taken care of. Embrace that you're being taken care of. And that grace of acceptance, or that acceptance of grace, which is really difficult. And it's very interesting because my brother-in-law would always say, I have to go before you because I won't be able to manage. And it's quite interesting how, and I'm generalizing, but for a lot of men, and particularly if there's no children or young children to care for, to step in, if it's just sort of you on your own, I could see why. That's it. When my father passed, although my mother took great care of him, hospice in the home, tapped into the purest part of herself, unconditional love, and I think the night that she died, she said, come over, I've got a chicken in the oven. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. I get it, though. I really get it. It would be amazing, miraculously and amazing, if this country dares to put a woman in the White House. It'd be amazing just to see how that works out.
Yeah.
I mean, a perfect world's a woman of color, but, you know, we can't. You know, we can't overreach, but, you know, but one could hope.
Right.
So I find it really interesting how the women I'm observing, and even in my own experience with loss, it's like, yes, it's painful. It's unfathomable pain. But there's that pure part of yourself that, okay, what needs to happen?
Mm.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Mm.
And it's such a surrender of control. And my dear friend's husband, I'm honoring the energy that I'm feeling, so I'm not. I might send a text in a day or two if I don't hear from him. I know in my heart that he's alive. I don't believe he's going to take his life, although he's dancing that dance, but he's not going to take his life. I really don't feel that he will. But the anger and the loss of control, it's off the charts. And it's heartbreaking.
Right.
It's amazing. Amazing. But I am all about the women lately. I'm so impressed. You know what I'm saying? I'm just so impressed. I look at my apartment. Two women kicked some ass in my apartment.
Right.
You know? Like, wow. Anyway, shout out to the women.
Wow.
And I'm generalizing, but you know, it's generalizations or stereotypes exist for a reason. Not, you know, there's plenty
right.
of women that are like a mess, and plenty of men that are amazing. And I'm not really judging, saying one's better than the other. I'm just impressed with the strength and the fortitude and the dedication what women have to do, what women are. You know, if you have to access something, that it's there for you to access. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and as things look bleak for women in this country, or, you know, just with current trends that are, you know, kind of being exacerbated by government, and just everything's kind of coming to a head here. You know, with
mm-hmm.
with women's rights, with
oh my God,
their own
I know.
Choices, autonomy
over your body.
To access the reason why we're able to access it, and the thing is obviously because I've never given birth in this body, but the potential is there, and I'm Asian, so that potential is still there no matter what. But that's that there's power in creating life.
There is.
And so that's that's something that we have to remember.
Right.
I think most of us know that to be true. And I just think that the tide's changing. I'm in the middle of reading an article from another Elizabeth, my friend Elizabeth Losey, who's been putting out some articles recently. And she's got a three-part article because she's in tune with a lot of the astrological occurrences.
Right.
And she'll channel stuff and whatnot. But this one was very personal. She's a very political person. So she's, you know, completely liberal and, you know, feminist.
And living in Georgia. Wow.
Living in a red state where it's oppressive and a lot of people think, you know, very differently from her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sharing a story of giving birth at the age of, I want to say 37, 38, to her only child who was born premature.
Mm.
And all the stuff that was happening with that and that came of it, because she was they were both about to die because of whatever the conditions were, because her daughter ended up being born like less than 2 pounds. That's
My God. Oh, jeez.
Right.
Her
daughter's 13 years old now, but it was looking really, 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 really bleak. So she is kind of sharing her story in the context of a lot of massive changes that are happening astrologically and also just specifically within our country, within the U.S. with all these different states putting up laws, putting basically a heartbeat over a person. And kind of deciding what's going to be legal for a woman. And it's crazy. And so she's sort of writing this because she's like, it took me a week to kind of process everything because she was so angry. But
I'm sure,
you know,
yeah.
So now this stuff is coming up. And so I haven't finished this. It's actually a three-part article. I think she's only put up the first two. Maybe she has, and I don't know if she's done all three. But the second part is dealing with the metaphysical stuff that was also happening as the whole, you know, she's on the brink of death because of all the different conditions. So her health had been okay until that happened.
Wow.
And so she's sharing some of a voice that came to her, giving her an option.
Wow.
To, you know, like basically telling her that her child was going to be fine either way. So if she wanted, if Elizabeth wanted to stay with the pain and then see her kid, then she could do that, or she could not. And so, you know, these are things that she's sharing, and I've not heard this story before, so I'm fascinated by it. I was just reading it this morning, so so this voice is sort of explaining to her about time and space, and the gist of what I've gotten so far is that every soul decides how much time they're going to spend,
right,
in this space.
That's right.
And how, you know, we would think of probably the worst thing to happen is that a kid, you know, a child, a baby is only here for so long. You know, so for a child to die is just, you know, unimaginably the worst. And the voice was saying, well, you know, the thing is it's still a win-win in that the soul has picked out whatever the scenario is.
Right.
And in some cases, maybe going through the childbirth but not having to live the whole life to the full.
Yeah.
Is pretty much what they wanted to experience.
And
it's always been a choice. We may forget that we made that choice, but that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So and the way it was written, or the way she was retelling it from what she heard, was that time for us has like a past, a present, and a future, but on the other side it's all in one.
Yeah.
So there is not this lingering over what could have been or what was.
No, that's right. There's no coulda, woulda, shoulda. Right.
Right. It's all there.
Right. I agree with everything. That's all. That all makes. What's given me peace losing my daughter at 2 days old after giving birth. Like, oh, you are so smart. Good for you. Yeah, Chuck, please. I'm out. Good for you. All that resonates with me. Everything that you said in that whole, and we say this all the time on the show too, where because it's source, the other side, whatever you want to call it. And we get a lot of questions like this on the air. When am I going to find out about this, that, and the other? Well,
right.
Yeah, unless I get a specific hit, and very rarely, but sometimes I do, I don't like to be held to that because that doesn't exist on the other side. That doesn't exist in source timeline.
Right.
It's all in one. And yes, I absolutely agree with that. Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so
I was trying to pull it up the way it was, because I'm still reading it. So
sure.
I was trying to pull up how it was written. I was just like, wow, sort of. Because it's eye opening for me. But then as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
Here's what
to
it
me.
Said. This is what she said. The voice went on. You live in a world where space and time make sense. They feel stable and reliable to you, except when sleep is involved and you travel beyond the limited realm of space-time. Because you don't know any different, you believe that it's probably the same for everyone else in the universe, but it's not. Where the rest of us are, all that you call time is contained in a single moment where past, present, future are simultaneous. Where all decisions have already been made, where all actions have already happened. Incidentally, she puts, this is the case with the Akashic Records, of which I will discover the existence some 2 years down the road. So that's her crisis, right?
Figuring
some of this stuff out. And then the voice goes on and says, all the souls looking to incarnate or reincarnate on Earth know that they will forget and become subject to human time, but they choose in the moment of deciding whether or not to incarnate into Earth's time or space time, how long they want to stay. They choose how long they want to stay. And it's always in perfect alignment for each being. This is free will in action, though you do not remember choosing. When children die young, that was their chosen amount of time. Perhaps it's because they were only interested in exploring childhood this time around. Another time they might choose to live past 100 if they want to experience old age. Even embryos and fetuses, which are aborted, know going in what the mother's choice will be.
Wow.
Because for them, it has already happened. And they choose it anyway. It's a great way for them to dip a toe into having a material body without being obliged to stay in it for years. Those wanting to get a glimpse of incarnation with no strings attached choose this option. It's a win-win.
Wow. And that is such, not to us, but that's such radical thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Especially what's going on with the reproductive rights. My goodness. Good for her.
Yeah.
And she posted, and this was posted where?
She's got it on, I clicked some links. She has a, she put it on Facebook as well as in her newsletter. So I think I read the first part.
Got it.
But I could forward it to you.
I'd love
the
to
link.
Read it. Mm-hmm.
So she's gotten the story and I'm like, wow, I'm just,
it makes sense.
I'm blown away by that.
Yeah.
You know, when those kinds of truths, because you think about free will and you think about, combining all that with everything that you think hasn't happened has happened. You know, everything has already happened.
Right? Can we just skip to the Can we just
right?
Where's the remote?
Right. Right.
Can we just fast forward? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. That's
Yeah, it's a lot to sit with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue to tell you. I mean, I had my session with Christy Lee. We moved it to Saturday. It's funny how that worked out because I ended up needing this whole weekend. I needed to have that session in my own space, like without any interruption from anybody else in my space. And my aunt went down to Tampa for a full holiday weekend with some relatives. So I had the whole house to myself.
Yay.
And I had my session. And she, again, with that stuff, it's so fascinating to me. You know, we're always asking why. And as I'm having this conversation with her about just what's been going on and making some parallels with, like, my cousin, with Anna, you know, for me to always ask a question why, because I am still very inquisitive, especially when something doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects me. Like, why? There's always that question, why? And similar to Anna, who was all, you know, at times will ask, you know, why is her ex this way? And trying to figure it out. And I remember telling her, you know, the more you ask that question, the more you're going to stay in that kind of energy.
Yeah, don't ask why. It's like, why? Don't ask why. Why bother? But
but what Christy said was that we need to look at even the word question, as she broke it down, is the quest I on, the quest I'm on.
Oh.
So anytime you ask a question, you put yourself on that particular quest.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So she said, you know, when you start changing, talk about pattern interrupt, when you realize what you're asking, the why becomes something very different. And it's about creating, because that's what you're creating. If you want to know why someone is the way they are, then you will find out why someone is the way they are.
Right.
Can you change that person?
Careful with that question. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So she's like, so instead of asking, you know, why me, you know, why is this happening? She's like, well, you know, why do I get to travel the world, you know, or why do I get to become a millionaire? Or, you know, she's like, have fun with it, to really play with it, to play with those words.
Right.
And so what I did was you'll be proud of me. I did some writing that day.
Yay!
And I wrote like a page and a half of just, you know, good, really good why questions about, you know, and creating the things that I did want versus, you know,
Girl.
Kind of carrying that same energy.
Yes.
Of why is this happening to me? Oh, you know, why don't I understand this person?
Right.
It's like, and
at that point, it's like, for what?
For someone who asks that question, and for people who are very empathetic, or not only just empathetic, but are empaths, because you can be empathetic and not be an empath. You know, I realize I'm picking up and carrying a lot of this energy that's not mine.
It's painful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And creating that safe space for yourself, and that boundary, and to how you were talking about when you had your session, having your space,
mm-hmm.
you know, and doing it in a contained space, and that's really what it is that knowing that when you are an empath, which we are times
mm-hmm.
a million,
mm-hmm.
that we really need to, we could be out in the world and present happy-go-lucky or whatever you want to call it, but in order to sustain that, we need to have some solitude, or sometimes that means you have to isolate a little bit
mm-hmm.
and be very, very clear of the boundaries. The people that are expecting your phone, your return call, return email, or your return text in a manner that's predictable for them about you or myself, oh, she gets right back, Well, guess what? Maybe it's going to take another 2 or 3 hours because I have to get my energy right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, again, having that perception of value and space of what you need and staying true to you. The only person that's going to stay true to you is you.
Right. Right.
And as long as things don't fall through the wayside, people aren't getting hurt, things aren't being neglected, but that you're able to, again, take the illusion of time and manage it. And to me, it's like a sport. Like, I could be an Olympian in time management.
Mm-hmm.
And laugh all through it. Creating that spaciousness. And it's amazing how the way that it unfolds and it flows is a barometer to getting what you need. If there's too much happening all at once and you're short-circuiting, you're not getting what you need. So it means even if it's 5 minutes that you're just sitting still and breathing to do a reset, then that's what you need to do. Or the most powerful word in the universal language is no. Isn't that funny how no is no, no? Maybe not in Russia, but no is no in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just English. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or not now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what I did was, as I was talking earlier with Christy that day about just, you know, the skin stuff was flaring up and so wanting to just make all these changes because like I had this energy that just needed to get burned through.
Right.
And I thought, well, I've been wanting to just not just tidy up, but really to move stuff. Like my room had become like a disaster area with all the traveling I'd been doing and just stuff has been accumulating in one area.
Yep.
Like, let me move through this. So I did. And I cleared a huge space out and, you know, put things like in another space in the garage where eventually they're going to come out. They're going to be donated.
Yeah, good.
But we also did a lot of, in the terms of like just body work, like, you know, shaking things out of every part of my body, just like literally shaking and moving things around, which was good. And then like the rest of the day, I relaxed because that's normally how I feel. Not because actually the conversations are really good. There's just a lot to take in and to integrate at some point. Because, you know, intellectually, they definitely make sense.
Uh-huh.
Then to really energetically take it all in. I mean, also, I rested. And then, not even that I fell asleep, but I was, you know, did a lot of writing.
That's great.
Took it easy. I wasn't really too hungry. So I actually just did, I think, a smoothie. And because it was just me, I had a lot of that smoothie. So I think I just had that for the whole day. And maybe, I may have done breakfast, like an egg.
Wow.
And that was it. But then I didn't go to sleep. When I got into cleaning mode later that evening, I really took all that time. I didn't go to sleep. I think I finally went to sleep the next morning.
Wow.
At like 6.
Wow. So you were just in that portal of activity. That's great.
I did all this laundry. Also that day, I want to say that day because, it was 6. It was 6 in the morning. But that was Saturday. That was Sunday where I finally was like, all right, I'm going to. I think I left the house to get some food, like some salad and some type of protein, like chicken. I think I went to Boston Market just to get, some stuff. Cause I know that that's comfort food, but also I don't normally get the salad, but the salad was really good. I had a little bit of food and I did all this decluttering and going through some papers, like tons and tons of papers. It's like my life has been spent with all these different papers. Like, I just gotta, you know, I gotta figure out what this stuff is, and just get rid. I got rid of. I recycled so many things, and then put it all out. But in the meantime, one of my friends calls.
Yeah.
And he was really, really sweet. He's a friend of mine. Where, you know, we've had that energetic. Like, I was basically taking a lot of his stuff for him. You know. Partly because that was my mode in friendship. It's like, oh, well, let me do what I can do to help. But realizing later on, like, wow, I'm now I feel it. You know, I feel that sense of frustration or lost or whatever.
Right.
This is somebody I love dearly, and I just realized, you know, I need to put my protections up or figure out a way to not keep it in, just to let it flow through. So he calls and he's like, well, you know, we don't talk very often because he lives in Philadelphia. So when I get a chance to chat with him, it's you know, it's always fun and I just always want to check in. But he was just very frustrated. He's like, I wanted to talk to you because you just have a good way of calming me down. And he's like, I'm not even asking you for an answer necessarily. The way he put it was like, he's like, you always know how to stay calm, even amidst, you know, all this craziness.
Right.
And he said, I guess I just want to see how you do that. How are you able to do that? And he gives me he tried not to give me too much of the backstory, but then it's almost like he couldn't not tell me the backstory.
Right.
There were so many questions. I'm like, I'm not clear, you know, how some of this stuff was working, you know, like what would have set this off. So it's dealing with a neighbor, in a row of townhomes. So you know, everyone kind of shares, all the units share, you know, that wall, you know, or it's all connected. So it's not a home that I would think of. It's something different. So knowing that there's all this energy and it's, you know, he's very frustrated and doesn't feel very safe, which is, That's the worst feeling, is to not feel safe in your own space.
That's
horrible. He's got a wife. So, you know, there's all these things that he's trying to make right in a way so that he can feel safe, his wife is safe. But he's just like, I'm so angry. I've really been looking at all the different ways to make it work so that it's, there isn't any loose end that could just come back to bite me in the butt, but he's like, I can't see a solution for it. So he's just trying to figure out, you know, how to get himself calm and centered. And I thought it was interesting because I'm like, I'm a wreck at times, you know.
But people say that, you know, it's interesting because I get that too. Like, you know, you just know, and I'm like, oh, you have no idea.
We definitely don't show it. And he's not the only one that's ever
poker
said
face.
That. But
right. We have a poker face on. It's like, we're resourceful and practical. It's not resourceful, practical to fall apart.
Right. But I told him this because I said, you know, in light of all of that, I said, you know, right now I've got the skin issue. So it's going to come up. It's going to come up. It's gonna manifest in a way that will get your
attention.
Yeah,
be careful with that. Yeah.
Right. So I said, you know, I said I can tell you, you know, things that I have done that I am doing. I said, you know, I've gotten help, and not in the traditional sense of, you know, what most people are like. You need to go to the, you know, you need to go to the doctor. Like, I know that this is not something.
Right.
That is going to go from the outside in.
Right.
It's going to come from the inside out.
You're aware enough to
know
that. Yes, I get that. Absolutely.
Right. And I definitely, do I need some relief? Yeah. So whatever I can do in the meantime, but the work has to come from inside. So I gave him Reverend Adams' contact information. I gave him Christy Lee's contact information. I said, I don't know if you're going to move forward on this step, but you've exhausted the logical ways of trying to resolve this.
He should call us the show. He should give us a call.
Well, I don't know if he will or not. No,
okay.
I know he won't.
Okay. That's why. Okay.
I know he won't. But because he's someone that will do like the one-on-one, but not with an audience. He won't do that. He's very private about that kind of stuff. So I said, you know, there are energies that, you know, even I've seen a lot of stuff, but there are energies that I don't really deal with. I don't know how that works, and I'm not asked that question. You know, the questions I would ask is how do I resolve this, and who can help? Because you know the stuff that Reverend Adam does is
that's
deep.
That is some...
it's deep. Other universe, but still your
Matrix
universe type
of some, yeah.
Yeah, and I told my friend that. I said, you know, this guy is as close to a wizard as anyone I've ever met.
Absolutely.
When it comes to this kind of stuff, he knows it. And so I said he can, not that he can, you know, he's going to manipulate all the stuff. But he can put some things in motion, and whether things fall out the way we want them to, I don't know. A lot of times it's very unexpected what comes up, because what you think you know is all of what is happening. Mm-hmm. So, and I said, so he can take care of certain things. And then I feel like Christy, I said, because I'm already working with her, and I said, you have to take care of you. And I think she can work with you on pulling up some of this stuff that is happening that taps into this anger that maybe you don't always let out. And it ends up turning into depression for years and years and years of depression.
That's right.
Depression is basically an anger tamped down.
Anger
it's,
turned inside
it's an
out.
Anger
absolutely.
That is never
yeah.
released. And
absolutely.
You just take it in.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and this is just a connection I'm making now as I'm talking about it. Is that to have, now he's in a place where he's got this wonderful wife. They just invested into this home. This is their home. And I think so far things are going pretty well. And now, but he's got a neighbor like a couple doors down that neighbor and his partner are just, they sound completely, you know, unhinged. Like stuff does not make sense to act that way.
Give me an example.
It's really the one. There's one guy who just is very noisy and belligerent he's challenging you. Like he's gonna turn his TV up really loud. And I guess they all have the rooftops, and so I think he has a TV out there.
What?
So he can watch TV. But it's so loud that even with my friend closing the windows and doors,
that is no. There's some.
Well, right. So, and it's like in the middle of the night. So he's like, I was woken up at 12:30 at night, and you know, and I've tried different ways to tell him, you know, could you turn it down? And it's just that no, you know, I'm just going to turn it up. And.
Oh. This is somebody with a chip. They just want to pick a fight with anybody. There's people that are like that.
Right.
Oh my God.
And he's sort of, I guess, he's done it. He's been such a bully in that way for so long that the neighbors immediately around him. Well, I think one neighbor travels so much he's not affected by it. The other neighbor has just figured out, like, I just want to keep the peace. I don't want to get involved, you know. So they can
This guy's a bully. He's a bully.
Right. So, so there's just a lot of things that he's trying to look at. And I was thinking, well, what about, you know, calling the police or all that? And he's like, I don't know what the situation was, but it's not going to do any good.
Well, it could backfire
down the road.
Too. You called the cops
right.
on me, you know what I mean? It could be this whole vigilante type of.
Right. And that was sort of the vibe he was giving me. I'm like, all right.
Oh
and they're not
God.
Done with all the units being built. So he's technically also bullying the builder.
He's bullying the builder?
So there's all these things that are happening. So, you know, my friend is also trying, he's good friends with the builder because that's who built all the units.
Right.
And so he's trying to, you know, help with that person. And I'm like, well, you know, first of all, you're taking on a lot more there, because then that's like a, that's between her, the builder, and this guy, and whatever's going on there. But yeah, it's a messy and. But what was interesting is he's like, you know, at the end of it, he's like, you know, it's just good to talk to you. So you have a very calming voice. I'm like, oh, well, thank you.
You do.
So I'm like, okay, well, if that helps. And because obviously, you know, I'm not going to be able to do anything necessarily.
But just the energy of that, but there's value to feeling like you're being supported and that you're being heard.
Right. Right.
Obviously, this person is not acknowledging that this, he's not acknowledging anyone, or that it's a communal space. And this, and the neighbor is in a relationship with somebody? That they live together?
Yeah, he has a partner, he has a husband. So, and I think the husband has apologized. But,
oh, the poor husband.
You know, right. But yeah, I think the main guy is just my friend called him a sociopath. it's that level of craziness, of instability, or just a way of doing things that is meant to cause people to be on edge, you know, to take notice. Yeah.
Somebody needs to get their medication tweaked. Somebody's probably even a bully their whole life. That person is in so much pain.
Mm.
That person is in so much pain that he's taking it out. He's lashing out.
Right. And so,
wow,
to cause someone else, like my friend, to want to lash out, which is
right.
Not,
see that ripple effect. That
right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking because that, it's like the Grinch. His heart was like three sizes too small or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I think the best thing he can do is imagine this person. I think just from picking up on the energy, I feel like this person was heinously abused. Like heinously. And really hasn't gotten the help that they need.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that it's bordering on mental illness. Or it's turning into that, like as this person gets older.
Right. You know, so my friend hasn't been sleeping well. You know, and
that adds to it too, sure.
Right. And the feeling of dread as you're coming home. Because
that's
now
the worst
you're,
feeling. Nobody
you're
likes
home.
That feeling. You put the key in the door and you're like, it's the worst.
Or even just driving down your street to home, you know. It's not a safe space.
No, and
it's
this
not
is what
a
you're
space
paying
where
for?
You can relax. Right.
Your household?
That's what he invested in.
It's supposed
in.
To be your
right.
oasis. Listen, I was ready to give up my apartment. That's
right.
I get it. I was going to. I keep saying this. Every time I try to die in Colombia, something backfires. such a low-rent Spanish soap opera. I'm going to die in Colombia. I'm going to die in Colombia where nobody knows me. I would rather, I wouldn't change a damn thing that I went through in the past. Wouldn't change a damn thing. Sleeping at other people's houses, staying in hotels, whatever. It's the worst feeling. And I remember it during certain times of my childhood where I never wanted to be home. And I remember it with certain roommates that were very toxic. Why do you want to put the key in the door and you're like, that's how you relax?
Wow.
Excuse me. Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah. So,
anyway,
you know, I basically laid low all weekend. I was asked to go to dinner. I think it was last night, but I was, you know, I said, there's just no way.
No, that's good. Don't put yourself out there.
I did sleep during the day. Yeah, after my aunt got home, I was still doing some work, but by afternoon, I'm like, okay, let me just lie on the couch here. So we have another lounge area that doesn't have any, no TV in it, but you know, I can watch on my phone or on my laptop. But I was doing work. I'm like, yeah, I think now I need to lay down and get some rest. So I think I napped for a couple hours, and then I was awake. So I continued doing some laundry and some other things, and then I did go to bed not crazy early, but because I'd taken that nap, but. I'm trying to get back on track, but it feels a lot better. And actually, I think my skin is improving.
Girl,
so,
look at you.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. I've had to do these things. I knew I needed to do them.
You're taking things you're taking matters into your own hands. Literally, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Girl.
And the way things are lined up, like I needed this house to myself.
Yep.
It's
perfect.
To do, well, also to move things around, because, you know, to kind of clear things up, you have to make a mess.
Oh, tell me about it. Yes, that's right. It's true. That's why we changed it from the refinement of transformation to the renovation of transformation.
Right.
Right.
So to sift through all these little things that had been piling up, like in the front side of my room. So that's just right when you walk in, I'm like, I'm tired of these doors being kind of so enclosed, like you can't open them all the way. I need to move things around. And it was the same, like even in my bathroom. So, you know, that's probably, it's changed a little bit so I can open up the door and all the way and not have it hit anything.
Good,
but there'll be some additional changes to be done.
Of course, it's always it's always a work in progress. You just do a little bit at a time. In my apartment, I just do a little bit every day. That's it. Just a little bit every day. That's it. And it's amazing how if you are on that roll till 6 in the morning. Sometimes if you're by yourself and you're not interrupted and you're in that zone.
Right.
You can get a lot done, and if that's not the case, you can get something done cumulatively, and you just give yourself the time. There's no deadline, but that you're making progress. So that's great, and that you're writing you're literally clearing stuff up, and you had the intuition with your skin and everything else, like. That's, you're taking matters into your own hands. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the writing was really good. The writing I knew would be very helpful. And for me, there was a bit of a deadline. I knew my aunt was going to come back sometime on Monday.
Right.
And I figured, knowing my relatives, it was going to be earlier. Like,
I know. It's like when my kids are away.
Like,
why are you home? Why are you back so soon?
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me. Right.
So for me to stay up till 6 and then, like, I had still had some small things to do. Like, a lot of it was just, like, finally taking things outside to the trash and that type of thing. And sure enough, by the time she showed up, I was already pretty much settled. I was doing some other work. But the physical place of rooms in the house that had been affected, I'd already kind of cleared all that up. No, there's one part where I left. She got an exercise bicycle that was parked right in front of the TV in the living room, and so it's right in the middle. It's kind of blocks, you know, the view from anyone sitting, because even that living room is not really ideal in terms of the placement of everything.
Right.
But that, like, that's the prime seat, but it's also the most uncomfortable seat because it's an exercise bicycle. So so I moved it because I was also going to vacuum and do some cleaning a little bit. So, but I want, because I'm like, well, you know, when I want to sit down and take a break, I don't want to watch the TV. I don't want to have half a handlebar in front of me.
Right,
so
exactly.
I moved it, and when she came home, I'm like, oh, you know, I need to move your bike back. She said, just leave it for right now. I'm like, okay, good. So we'll see. You know, she may have brought it back out. But, the thing is, like, I still will watch my shows. I tend to watch it, you know, like, in my room, on my laptop. What I'm trying to do now is kind of move out and do other, you know, be in other parts of the house.
Good.
The thing that we talked about Saturday was about contracting. You know, like when you're trying to protect yourself, you contract and you pull yourself in.
That's right.
And that's why I had to kind of do some moving and shaking things out.
Right.
And so just being aware of that, and making some declarations about, you know, how I want my energy to flow has very much changed. And I was, you know, obviously able to do that in a space that's all mine for right now. Just able to do that. And so to be aware of, you know, again, not asking the same questions that I had been asking in terms of why, but more making statements for myself. And so I was able, like, I don't spend as much time in my room. I haven't spent as much time in my room since she's been here. It's only been a day, but most of it has been spent in other parts of the house. And I think that's a good start for me.
I think that's a great, that's really promising. No, that's good. What I want to do, we have like 3 minutes left. I want you to pick a message for yourself.
Okay.
But for us. So I'm already on there. So you just do the music, not do the music, just say pick.
I got to do the music. I love the music.
Do the music, girls. Work those hips.
I got to say it.
Yeah. Jay, girl.
Okay.
Interesting how two-digit number, 46.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a message that you picked for yourself, but for all of us as well. Through mindful awareness of your connection to Source, know a solution always exists, and inviting it in overrides wrestling with the problem. Oh, this is a good one to share with your friend. Wow. Through mindful awareness of your connection to Source, know a solution always exists, and inviting it in overrides wrestling with the problem. If that's not couture, and number 46, and I would say with your friend, this is letting him know that he's disconnected. He's not in alignment with the purest part of who he is.
Mm.
And it's getting his attention.
Yeah.
46. So tell me about that, 46.
Well, these are even numbers, and they end up equaling an odd number, a 1.
Mm.
So I like that transformation, because the 4 has to do with the plan and having structure, you know, kind of structure out of chaos. And then the 6 is about love. So ordered love. You must love yourself. Yeah, but that's really just so funny.
That's perfect, though, isn't it?
That is it. You must love
that's
yourself.
That's really funny. Perfect.
That's a good message. If you can,
yes,
you know,
I'm gonna text that to me.
That'd be great.
I'm gonna email it to you so I could just do it right from here.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yes. But yes, my pleasure. Perfect. Well, this was a great conversation. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loabland@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show is back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Great conversation. The last time we were back-to-back callers, so this was great. yes, and as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you too.
Day.
Bye.
Bye.